Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Lord God, as we get into Romans chapter 5 and we look at how Scripture teaches to get hope, it is much different than how the world teaches the concept of hope. It goes against our natural way of thinking. It goes against the way we want to get hope. But Lord, it not only develops hope within us, if we follow the path to hope that you have for us, it also builds faith in us. And Lord God, we want to be people that walk in faith and hope, not in wishing, not in hoping in the way the world has hope, which has no basis to it whatsoever. It's a lot of dreaming and wishing. It has nothing to do with hope and faith. So we thank you for the principles in your word. Help us to learn from them, apply them. And so we give you this time, Lord, lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Romans chapter 5, we had already covered verses 1 through 2. Okay, so in Romans chapter 5, what we had talked about is everything we have is by faith. It talks about Abraham. By faith, he was made righteous before the eyes of God. He's in right standing with God because he walked in faith. Then in chapter 5 is talking about us. We have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace. And we talked last week about if we really understood what Jesus has done for us, that we can have this confident relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that we have his favor. He's on our side. We have privileges that we would not have without Christ. We can look forward to heaven and all the different things because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's all by faith. It's not by our works. There's nothing we can offer him. There's nothing that we can do to earn his favor. It is unmerited grace. It's literally a free gift that God gives us. But it costs us one thing, and that's called faith. We have to trust and believe. So then when we go into chapter 5, verse 3, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5, and we're going to see a process here of how to get hope. I'll read through it, and then we'll take a look at it. It says, "We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love." And then I'm going to get another translation, if I can find it, to see if I can.
Yeah, I have a much different one, too.
Yeah, and so why don't you read yours, because I want to get the difference in it.
It says, "Not only so, but we as glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us."
So we see different words being used there. I think, okay, you have that translation. I'm going to get a different. That was new NIV, I think. So I'm going to get one more translation for us just to get some different words here. This is in the New American Standard. And not only this, we also celebrate in our tribulations. Know that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts to the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So there's different words being used there. There's some concepts there. But do you notice when you look at the process, in verse 4, it then says at the end, it says hope. Hope does not disappoint. So there's some things that takes place before hope comes. Do you see that there?
Yeah, that's what I saw out of it. That was the big
jumps out, right?
Right.
And those things that you look at, do any of them look that great?
The things what?
The things that you see that the kind of like the hoops you have to jump through before hope comes. Do any of those things, those words, those phrases, those terms, are those exciting phrases you like to hear? Tribulation, perseverance.
They are to me today, but if you know, I mean, yeah, I can think that. I mean, I always wanted the quick, easy path always, but you know, through this, I've learned how rewarding, you know, the long term can be. You know, I mean, the real good stuff takes a little time and a little work and a little effort.
But if I was to go around posting a billboard down the highway and says, "You want hope?" And then I put, "And you need to go through tribulation, you have to persevere, be patient, you have to build character, and then you'll get hope." How many people would sign up?
Right, yeah, yeah.
They would say, forget it.
Yeah.
And so here's what I would argue is the reason why a lot of people don't have hope. The reason a lot of people don't have hope is because they're not going through the process that gives you hope. And to prove that point, we're going to go through this and we're going to look at how to apply this. But I'll tell you, it's kind of like the story of everybody wants the mountaintop experience, but they don't want to climb to the top of the mountain.
Well, Rich, I'm noticing something that's kind of recurring that's been coming up here. And verse 3, I mean, just in our readings, I mean, thus far, I mean, there is something common here. And I mean, I'm looking at almost a warning or at least a truth, right? That it's telling us that, I mean, there will be suffering, you know, I mean, that is life. He says, but we know that, you know, while you're suffering, I mean, during these times of suffering, you know, what happens there is that produces perseverance, and perseverance builds character, and high character brings hope. It's kind of like outlining truth in life. I mean, you know, like we've been figuring out here, I mean, the Bible is just absolute truth.
I mean, it becomes common. It becomes what you would see, but this makes common sense. This is just common sense. This makes sense.
Right.
It just seems like it's the right thing. And I would argue a person without God in their life, an atheist can look at this and say it makes sense.
Sure.
And the reason that they can is because God does make sense. You see, people take God and they make him so big, and he is. Obviously, he's big. Obviously, he's powerful. Obviously, he's mighty. All those things. But the God of the heavens is the God that relates to the man that lives on earth. So if God's going to relate to man, reach out to man, build a relationship with man, God has to make some common sense. If God's going to reach out to common man, it has to be that God comes up with a means, the ability, that's something that can work for anyone and that can be understood by anyone. And
right.
Again, it may be hard to understand at first, but part of it is because if you're resistant, if you're bucking everything that God says to do, it isn't going to make sense.
Right.
If you resist everything that God says, it isn't going to make sense. Why? Because if you resist that, the devil's going to try to confuse you so it doesn't make sense. But if the devil can get you to think God doesn't make sense, if the devil can get you to think that God isn't logical, if the devil can get you to think that God isn't just, that God requires things of us, that God has us to live a life that isn't fair, it isn't just, it isn't right, doesn't make sense, it's hopeless, it's helpless, it's useless, then you'll walk away from God. You'll never come to know him. And so God is obligated to counter that by being a logical, rational, reasonable God who can make things understood by anyone if they'll just apply the principles. So now to actually look at these principles. The first thing it says, and we are to celebrate in our tribulations. But before we do that, there's a phrase there. I don't know what your passage says, but mine says, and not only this, but. So that's verse 3. And not only this, but. So if you see not only this, but, we need to know what not only this is. And if we look above in verse 2, that this is talking about is that we walk in faith and that we have grace to stand on. It says, by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand on God's grace. And God's grace is unmerited favor. God's grace is his power to say no to sin. God's grace is the ability to say yes to God. God's grace is the ability to serve him and honor him and glorify him. So it says, and not only by his grace, but we also celebrate in our tribulation. So this is what we know when we start looking at tribulations and perseverance and patience and character. We know this. The way to go through all this journey is to do it by his grace, which again is by his power. If we do it on our own strength, we're only going to go so far. And some people can go further than others on their own strength. Now, some people are very self-willed. Some people are very determined. But you cannot go through this process and arrive where God has you if you just do it on your own strength. Because first off, if it's on your own strength, you're probably not going to have very good character. Because if it's on your own strength, there's going to be a whole lot of pride. There's going to be a whole lot of, look what I have done. And a person that walks around saying, look what I've done, normally is a person that doesn't have good character. Because a person that's all about themselves just normally it does not have good character. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely.
I mean, who really wants to be around a person that's all about themselves and what they can do and who they are and how great they are?
Nobody.
Nobody. And so what they become is a character instead of having character.
Right.
And so then it says here, we celebrate in our tribulations. What? If I'm going to get hope, walk in hope, I got to go through tribulations and not only go through them, but celebrate in them. What does it mean to celebrate in your tribulations? Does that mean you celebrate, you get fired, you celebrate that you get a sickness that debilitates you, that you celebrate that your wife left you? Is that what it means? I'm actually supposed to be excited about those things, or is celebrating your tribulations something different?
I would guess that means remain grateful to God for the, you know, thank God for the bigger picture. And, you know, I mean, I know that I'm going through this now. I'm going through a little loneliness right now with myself, and it's easy to get down and, you know, but, you know, instead just going, you know, trying to remain grateful to God, knowing that he's going to take care of this on his
time. Exactly. No way. God is not a cruel God. A cruel God would say, you should be excited that your wife got raped and almost died. You should be celebrating that. But that's not like the God you know.
No.
It doesn't fit his character. So we know it does not say that, mean that, because that's not his character. But to celebrate our tribulations, to celebrate that by his grace, I can go through these tribulations. I'm going to make it through this trial. I'm going to make it through this struggle. I'm going to make it through this obstacle. I have confidence that I can make it through this. God's grace is going to carry me through this. And so the idea is instead of running from tribulation, hiding from the tribulations, is to face them head on and walk through them with God's grace. Because those who do not walk through the tribulations through God's grace normally run from the tribulations. And here's the problem. Can you run from your trials?
Nope.
Can you make them worse by running from them?
Yep.
So I'll give an example. It's just a crazy one. I had a guy that had favor over and over again with his probation officer, with the judicial system and everything else. Guy made a lot of bad choices. Ultimately found himself breaking probation and had to go to jail. He went to jail for, I think it was around 9 months, 10 months. He's got to get released. and he needs a place to be released to. Well, I've never, other than this guy, I've never had anybody released to my home personally. First off, I know something. Anybody that wants to get released to my home probably just wants to get it because they can get out of jail early. Okay, that's the number one reason, is they can get some time out of jail earlier by getting released and for their probation. But I went along with this guy. Again, this guy has great favor. He gets out. He's at my house. I tell him he cannot leave because where I lived at the time was his stomping grounds, where he did drug and alcohol and everything else. He was a drug dealer, the whole thing. I had to go someplace. I come back, and an hour later, the guy's gone. And I get a call from the guy and somebody else. The guy's obviously drunk. This is like 5 hours later. Well, there's a problem. He got released to me on a Sunday. A Monday morning, what does he have to do? He has to go to see his probation officer, get checked and everything, get pee tested so he can get back into the system. So does it make sense that he goes and gets drunk the day before he's going to see the probation officer?
None.
None, right? Here's the deal. He was experiencing tribulation to see his probation officer just because he always would get in trouble, and when he'd see him, it was always a bad deal. But the guy was in no trouble. Come on, he just got out of prison. He can't be in trouble. He stays in my house. He has no trouble. So he sees his probation officer is going to be smooth as can be. But what did he do? He's let his mind get triggered and worry and doubt and fear and everything else. So then because of that, quote, tribulation, the way he deals with it is to go drink. What did he do? He just created more tribulation. And my argument is that's what happens to us if we're not careful. In the midst of our tribulations, if we don't handle them properly, we create more trials and tribulations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
The key is, instead of tribulating over tribulation, is to be rejoicing, celebrating that God's carrying you through your tribulation. So tribulations, first thing is it says, celebrate your tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces or brings about perseverance. Other translations say patience. So it says that after tribulation, there's perseverance or patience. And here's why that is true. If I will rejoice in my tribulations, be thankful that God's carried me through my tribulations, can I persevere?
Of course.
And so if I can look at tribulation differently than I normally do and see that God's carried me through it, then what will happen, instead of that tribulation take me out, I will persevere. I will hang in there, and I will not give up.
Right.
And if I don't give up, most likely I will get through the tribulation. But notice what it says. We celebrate our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings proven character. Does your translation say something different than proven character?
It says character.
Okay. It brings character.
Yeah.
Is that true? If I will rejoice, hang in there, persevere through my tribulations, will build character in me.
Absolutely.
Is the reason why a lot of people don't have good characters because they just don't stick it out?
Seems like that's true.
And if a person, think about it, if you're building a relationship with somebody, do you want to hang with somebody that never sticks it out?
Definitely not.
And so you don't want to stick it with them because they have a character issue. And so what if I was to tell you there's a reason why a lot of people don't have good godly character is because they bail out of everything in life.
Makes
whatever
sense
life throws at them, they run from it. They give up. They throw in the towel. And my translation says proven character. It's character that's been proven. A character that's been tested. And when your character's been tested, so it's like your boss leaving a $1,000 bill on the counter and seeing if you take it or not. Proven character is the fact there was $1,000 you could have taken and you didn't take it.
Right.
Character is I won't take it. Proven character, I'll say this. Character is, I would say, if somebody asked me, if $1,000 left on the counter, would you take it? You would say no. That would show your person of character. But proven character is when the $1,000 bill is left on the counter and you don't take it.
Right.
And the proven character comes from the tribulations, the trials, and the perseverance. So if we really, truly want to have character, we have to learn to hang in there in whatever situation there is. And the more you hang in there, the more trials and tribulations you go through, the more godly character you will have. And so if you want to be a person of character, it becomes a place where you know that God's going to bring trials and tribulations your way. And how many Christians think they have been told that when you accept Jesus, trials and tribulations won't come your way? When you accept Jesus, everything's going to be cool and fine.
Uh-huh.
When you accept Jesus, you know, the holy angels are going to watch over and protect you. God's going to protect you. You know, the Holy Spirit will be there. You're not going to have any problems. Life's going to go great. It's going to be wonderful. And it's just going to be a fun life accepting Christ. There's no truth to that whatsoever. This passage is proving there's no truth to that whatsoever.
Right.
And here's the reality. Is there any faith? If when I accept Jesus, everything goes smooth, everything goes easy, there's no problems, that doesn't take any faith to accept Jesus. It doesn't take any faith to serve God. If everything goes smooth by accepting God, who needs faith?
Yeah.
It just goes easy. The faith comes in because what about when things go bad? When things go tough, get tough, when things get hard, and you're still hanging with Jesus. How do you do it? Because you have faith. How did you get the faith? By the proven character going through the trials and tribulations. So this passage says, we celebrate our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. So again, how do we get hope? It's going through the others. Now the question I'm going to ask you is, How do those things bring hope?
Well, just from personal experience, I mean, I can see, and I mean, this is all after we've accepted Jesus, right? I mean,
right.
That's what it says. So yeah. I can just speak on my experience after I've accepted God, and that's it is that there's after I've built some faith and I've gone through some stuff and survived it and built the character, my faith has increased. And so the next time the trouble comes around, I in a way, it's kind of like this sick joke around the, you know, my circle is how much, it's almost an excitement. It's almost like, okay, like, I mean, I'm such a better person after all of this. And it's like, now that I've seen God will just take care of this and I come out better. It's like, all right, give me the little hardship now. Cause I know what's in store for me is going to be much better. And I mean, that manifests and that looks in many different ways, but, you know, I mean, that's what it is that hope. I'm no longer, you know, wanting to die or wanting to run or wanting to run from this. It's like, okay, you know, I'm truly strong and I just go through it and keep my head down and persevere and just, you know, one step at a time, keep going. And that's what it gives me. I mean, that's the hope, is just to keep persevering and the hope for the future. I don't see a little trial and tribulation as the end of the world like I used to.
Normally what happens, we see tribulation, that's the end, right? We
can't
see tribulation. There's nothing else in sight. So all we see is the tribulation. Well, there's no hope. And if all you see is tribulations and trials and hardships, there's no hope in that by itself. To go through a trial or tribulation, you're not going to develop hope if that's all that's put before you. But if you, through it, you persevere, then what do you know? When you go through a tribulation, you know, because you persevered in the past, that if you persevere again, you're going to see God come through again. And then you persevere again, you go see that God comes through again. And then what happens? Those trials and tribulations may be tougher, they may be harder, but you can endure them because you've already built the character to go through it.
Right.
So God doesn't throw something at you that you're not going to be able to handle by his power and his grace. He's always going to give you the grace, the strength that you need to go through what you have to go through. And so you, no matter what is thrown your way, you have the confidence, you have the assurance that God's going to get you through. And again, a lot of people don't have hope because they're wanting a simple way to get it. And it comes through the endurance. And so then it says, and hope does not disappoint. The hope comes from God does not disappoint. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes when you're hanging on there by faith and hope, it doesn't mean that it isn't disappointing. It says it does not disappoint. It doesn't say it's not disappointing. What do I mean by
right.
At the end of the day, you won't be disappointed. But in the midst of the day, it may be disappointing. And what I mean is going through this stuff can be discouraging at times. Going through whatever you're going through can be tough. It can be very tough. It can be hard. It can be that you want to give up. It can be you want to throw in the towel. It can be that it's tough as all you can imagine. But hope does not disappoint. So this is what I know. Even though it feels disappointing, even though I don't want to go through this, I'm tired of it. Please, I'm just tired of it. I don't want no more of this. But if I hang in there, this is what I know. If I hang in, I'm not going to be disappointed that I hang in there. Guaranteed. I won't be disappointed if I hang in there, even if I'm disappointing. Am I making sense of that balance between hope does not disappoint, but it can be disappointing?
Yep.
Because it's real life. Real life is that it just because you have hope, just because you have faith, doesn't mean it isn't hard. It can be very hard. And it says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. It doesn't disappoint because it's not just hope. It's because we know that God loves us. And because we know he loves us, he will give us the strength to get through what we're getting through. And we know that he will not disappoint us. We know that good will come out of it out of the end. Because we know if God's a loving God, good has to come out of it in the end. If he is a loving God, if he truly loves me, then if I hope in him to carry me through, he's not going to fail me. Because a loving God is not going to fail me. So then the question is, if we do not understand God's love, but we hang in there. But we hang in there in those trials and tribulations.
I never did. That's for sure. I mean, I survived some stuff somehow, but I mean, there was certainly, yeah, I mean, most of the time I just bailed.
And I like the word survive. Here's what a lot of people are doing. They're surviving, but they're not persevering.
Right.
They're surviving, but they're not celebrating their tribulations. They're surviving, but they're not building character. So it's the person who's gritting their teeth, angry as all hell, but trying to do what's right for God. And those people aren't happy.
Right.
And they're not understanding that God's love is in the midst of it. Again, it doesn't make it easy. But when you know that God's love is there, that he shed his love upon us, that he has poured out his love through the Holy Spirit, he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us everything that we need. Every resource I need, everything that I need is at my hands, available to me to get through this situation. So you know what? I have hope I'm going to get through this situation. And that doesn't happen overnight, because why? You have to go through the trial, and you have to persevere. If you fail the test, you got to take the test over again. And so there may be a certain level that we get closer to God, and we go through certain trials. There's certain other ones we seem to flunk all the time. And the reason we flunk him all the time is because we haven't truly understand his love and the power of his Holy Spirit and the grace he's given us to get through it, and we give up. And those areas that we give up and we seem to, you know, that sin that really entangles us, whatever that may be, is we keep letting that win, then that just means we have to go through tribulation again until we get it. Until we build the character that it doesn't affect us anymore. And so then it becomes another area of our life where we have perseverance and godly character. And then there's another area of our life that perseverance and godly character. And more we start to look like Jesus as we persevere and allow God to mold, shape, and change us.
Right.
And then another point is one of the reasons that hope comes from this is because when we persevere, we have something to hold on to, something to fall back on. So if I'm tempted to eat a 18-inch pizza in 5 minutes, and I don't, and the next time it comes, I don't, the next time it comes, I don't, then what happens is when something comes my way in the temptation of food, I can say no to it because I said no to that 18-inch pizza. And I would argue that's really how this kind of process works in just simple terms. This is how it works, is those different areas that we gain victory in are there, those victories are there to give us the faith and the hope and confidence that I can have victory in a whole nother different area I've never had victory in.
Right.
So I would argue that as Christians, we need to find ways to walk in victory because we need those victories to deal with issues in our life.
Absolutely.
If we don't have any victory in our life, we have no hope. And no
faith. That's a very good point.
But what if we just be faithful in the little things?
Right.
How about us just persevering in the little things? How about us rejoicing in our tribulations when they're little tribulations? The small stuff. Learn how to rejoice in the small stuff, that God's in the small stuff, because then you can start to face the big stuff. But if you're throwing your hands up and you're giving up by every little thing and stumbling over every little trial that comes your way, you're going to be a hopeless, faithless, helpless Christian.
Right. We all know those people that, you know, they're flaky, or, you know, they say they're going to diet and it lasts a day, or they, you know, they say, okay, this time I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. They never go, blah, blah, blah. Every little thing, right? And you just know. And then something big comes up, and you just know because there's just no character's been built.
But right. You know. You can see it coming, right? You can predict ahead of time how they're going to handle it.
Right.
And the challenge becomes is to continuously fight the good fight of faith, continuously persevere, and realize that you don't get to kick back.
Right.
Because when you start kicking back, you can lose all that character you built up. And then you say those wimpy people, or not wimpy, but you say those flaky people, what'd you call them?
Flaky, or, yeah, I mean.
So
I was speaking about myself, really. I mean, I mean.
I did the flaky person or the flaky Christian. So it's the Christian that talks all about Jesus but has no character. Because as soon as the trial came their way, what did they do? They bailed out. And then the question is, who wants to be around that flaky Christian?
Right.
So what happens is, again, instead of building character, we become a character, and nobody has what we have to offer because we have nothing to offer. And yet, how many people that you meet that they think they have something to offer? And you scratch your head and wonder, what do they think they have to offer? Why do they think I'd want what they have with how they are?
Right.
You know, you were talking about that about one of the employees. On the people that you work with. It's like, why would anybody want what they have to offer, even though they're a Christian?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not I mean, if you, yeah, I mean, like you said, it's just if we're not growing, if we're not persevering, if we're not getting any victory at all, I mean, it just shows. And then, so if, you know, if I'm not getting any victory in any way in my life, and all of a sudden I start running around going, oh, look, everybody, this is what Jesus has done for me. You know, it's honestly, it does more harm than it does good.
Yeah, and I want to end with this for to look at. This is about gaining hope for ourselves, but it's not only that. It's so that we can offer hope to others.
Right.
Because when we get this hope that does not disappoint, when we get this godly type of hope, what happens is then we have something that we can share with somebody else. And we can actually instill hope in someone else. We can actually walk alongside of someone else and persevere with them through their tribulations and trials. That we can turn around and be there to help them grow in character because they want what we have to offer. And so the goal is not only to go through this process to get hope for ourselves, but it's so that we can give hope to other people. And out of that, we can actually be a part of people's lives being changed. And so always, 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 whatever principles are in the Bible, those principles aren't just for us. The principles for us to share with others and help others to be able to grasp hold of those principles, because those are good principles for anyone and everyone. And the truth is, the principles can only be applied to an extent because it takes the power of God to ultimately walk through it. Reality is it cannot just be, again, you taking all these principles and applying your own strength, because sooner or later your strength is going to give out.
Right.
And you're going to fall flat on your face. Because even as Christians, we fall flat on our face at times. Because why? We start trying to do it in our own strength instead of in His strength. And so, as we close, what are some things that we can apply, or some things that we could pray through as we look at this passage?
That would be, God, help me, or keep it on my mind that I've been through stuff before, and no matter what I'm going through, help me continue to stay strong in You and stay strong on my past experience that You've gotten me through. That because You've gotten me through all that, it's easy to, or when I think about that and I focus on that, it's almost hard not to embrace what I'm going through now, because You've shown time and time again that I can rely upon You, and that it gets better. That what You have is certainly not this, and this will not be forever. And keep that in my mind so that I can have the strength and to persevere.
Yeah, and think about it. What if we actually prayed that when we're going through something, and we actually said to God.
I just did, literally.
yeah, because here's what it would be is I'm going through something, and I actually am saying to God, and I'm saying, you know, Lord, my mind's poor right now. My memory's poor right now. I can't remember anything I've been able to make it through right now. It all looks helpless and hopeless, and I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Will You bring into my mind where You've come through in the past? Right now, God, I need You to bring to my mind what You've done in the past. And if You pray that, isn't He going to do it?
Yep.
And what will that do to you?
Give me hope.
Yeah. Give you hope. Stir up faith. Get you excited.
Yeah, I've already just doing this. I mean, I just, you know, whatever. I was just going through a little self-pity and, you know, whatever. It's raining outside and it's boring and there's nothing to do and all that. And it was just a little like bleh, you know, feeling a little sorry for myself. And then now it's like I'm almost excited again. So
yeah,
this works.
It works. It works.
Right.
So let's close in prayer. So Heavenly Father, it works. And Lord, if it works, help us to apply it. Help us to apply the principles that we have just learned so that we can gain hope when it seems hopeless. We can gain faith when we seem faithless. And Lord, help us to remember, bring to our mind when we're going through a tough time, a hard time, bring to our mind the concepts in this passage of Scripture, Lord. And remind us that your hope does not disappoint, that if we have hope in you, we have hope that you'll carry us through, that we will not be disappointed, that you will always come through, no matter what. You'll come through, Lord. You may not come through until the 23rd hour, but you will come through. And we can have that hope. We can have that confidence. We can have that faith to believe that you will, because we've experienced it, because we've seen you come through so many different times in our lives, Lord. You've come through even when we weren't looking for you to come through. You came through even when you shouldn't have come through for us, because we didn't deserve how you intervened in our life. So help us to remember those times, Lord, where you've brought us through the toughest of situations, and remind us that you will do it again, because you're a God that loves us, that cares for us, has a plan for us, wants to see us prosper, wants to see us succeed. You want to see fruitfulness in our life. You want to see us to be able to be used by you to touch others' lives. So, Lord God, you're faithful to intervene in our life. Help us to remember that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." John 1:7 says, "You must be born again." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And Matthew 1:15 says, "Repent you and believe the gospel." Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org. And we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org. That is thereishopetv.org. Also, I want to let you know, if you would like to talk to me personally, you can always give me a call, toll-free, anytime, 1-866-1-GOD.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only.